1 Kings chapter 15, verses 16 to 22, and 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 19, to chapter 16, verse 6. Now, indicating these two readings tells us that the history of Asa is not straightforward. It occurs in two books, 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And there's some overlap, and there are some differences, and sometimes there's summaries and so on. But let me piece together what I can, as best I can. In this short discourse, I'm concentrating on 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 19, to chapter 16, verse 6. Now, we know from 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 16, that there was war between Israel and Judah throughout Asa's reign. And yet we read in chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles and verse 6 that for some time the Lord had given Asa rest and peace. No one was at war with him. There must have been a lull in this war, but the overall effect must have been throughout the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, was at war with him. But now we do here have a war. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, chapter 16, verse 1, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. And so we see now that Asa is engaged in this war with the northern kingdom. Now, we know in 2 Chronicles 14, verses 9 to 15, war had broken out with the Cushites. And Asa there had trusted in the Lord. He had cried out to the Lord. And as in a previous discourse, I've spoken on the victory that the Lord gave him through trusting and relying upon him. Now, what does Asa do now? Verse 2 of chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. Asa took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and out of his own palace, and he sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. And he formed a treaty with the king of Aram. He copied his father, who we know, 1 Kings 15 verse 3, had done evil. We know that. Now this man, Asa, copies his father, and he goes to Aram, or Syria, and forms a treaty there. He bribes him. He pays by pawning the treasury of the Lord, and pawning his own treasury as well, and sending it, the money and the treasury, to Aram. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. And Ben-Hadad agreed with this. He was bribed, he bought the price, he took the price, verse 4, and he set his commanders to fight against Israel. And so Asa had a time of peace. Baasha withdrew. And verse 6, King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. And he built up Geba and Mizpah. So Asa shows he's a very wise man. He's a very clever man. He's a smart man. But, he's showing that he is acting contrary to the revelation of God. He's going to Syria. He's going to Aram. He's copying his evil father. He's buying peace. He's copying the world. He's buying the world in to defend Judah. Now, he'd had his own experience of trusting the Lord over the Cushites. He'd seen how God had given him the victory, and he rejoiced in that victory, and he was honored for that victory, and yet now he goes to the world. Now, this is not just a history talk. I see these principles being played out today in the gospel, in the churches of Christ. I've written about it. Relationship, evangelism exposed, and attracting unbelievers to the church. And you can see there how men are going to the world and asking them, how do you get your customers? How do you win your competitions? How do you increase your profits? How do you get your ends? And of course, the world is willing to show how it can get customers and how it can win and how it can attract. And the churches are saying, yes, we'll copy you. We'll follow your principles and we'll apply them. Come over and help us. Come and help us. How different to the Acts of the Apostles, where in vision Paul saw the Europeans calling out to Paul, come over and help us with the gospel. Now, the gospel apparently has to go to the world and say, come over and help us. It's Asa all over again, pawning God's treasure, affecting triumph by the politics of the world. Now, I give Asa 10 out of 10 for his politics. I give him 10 out of 10 for his activities. There's no fault with that in the sense that he's a great political man, he's an active man and so on. You can give him credit for all that. But this is a man who's ruling over Judah. He should be a man of faith, a man of the spiritual, a man of the old covenant. You see, I say the same about the modern teachers. They're great at their politics. They're great in their theories. They're great in their schemes and their programs. But my friend, we don't need greatness in that area. We need to be men and women of God in the Spirit, under the gospel, obeying Christ in the gospel, the Word of God, trusting in God. It's not politics. It's not the accountant schemes. It's not effort and activity. It's trust and reliance upon God, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want politicians, we want preachers. We don't want clever men with their activities. We want the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let us learn from Asa here. What a dreadful mistake. That's what I see in 2 Chronicles 15 and 16. Asa, going back on his former experience, have we not seen how God has blessed the gospel in years past? Have we lost confidence in the Spirit of God? Have we lost confidence in the Word of the Lord and the power of the Spirit to save sinners? May we go back to the Word of God and trust in the Lord and rely upon Him and upon Him alone for Christ's sake. And may He give us success to the glory of His name. Amen.